Jason Manford.
Absolute Radio.
Where real music matters.
Good morning. It's the Jason Manford Show on Absolute Radio. Hope you're very well. Steve Edge is here.
Good morning.
How's it going, my friend?
All right, yeah. Everyone's ill. Everyone's got a
still?
Cough. Yeah. Oh, it's dragging on now.
Oh, it's selfish. Are you ill as well?
No, I'll just get by, you know. But, you know, you drop them off at school and you go, that's that then for the day. And then you get a call about an hour and a half later going, he's not well. He's got a bit
that's the worst, isn't it?
Oh. Well, my son, he's sort of like, he really leans into an illness as well. You know what I mean? He's like, I went to get him from drama yesterday. He went to drama last night and he rang. He's not feeling well. I went, you're right, mate. He's like, yeah, I'm pain in my stomach. I was like, all right. He went, can you carry me? I was like, oh, he's eight. You know what I mean? Oh. He's not like,
well,
down a flight of stairs, you know, up across the road, up a hill, in the wind.
One good thing, though, is at least you money well spent at the drama lessons.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He smashed it.
He's absolutely smashing
it. As soon as I got him in the car, he was absolutely fine. I thought, I nearly took him back and went, give him a distinction. This is brilliant.
My dad still tells the story of when I fell over as a kid. I was about maybe nine. And I fell over as a kid. And we were going to my granddad's that sort of Sunday morning, my nan and my granddad's. And so I was like, I can't walk there, Dad. My knee. And I said, well, can you carry me on your shoulders or whatever? So my dad ended up putting me up on my shoulders. Nine is too big to go on a man's shoulders.
It's like four, isn't it?
Balance
is all wrong.
Especially at that age.
Your dad's skinny as well. You'd have been heavier than him.
I probably was. My dad's 10 and a half stone.
That's top heavy weight.
Now, exactly. And he's carrying me up there. And it's a good two and a half miles to my grandparents' house. Like, it's, you know, back in the day when everyone, you just walked everywhere.
And so
walking up Maldoth Road there in South Manchester. My dad's at one point, he's like round the front. In the end, he ends up carrying me like you would carry a damsel in distress.
Yeah. Like you just got you off the railway line.
Yeah, exactly. And then we get up there. My granddad has walked down a little bit to meet us. And I love my granddad. I mean, like, he's my favourite person in the world. Yeah. And I, as soon as I saw him, leapt out of my dad's hands, ran off. Yes. And my dad, what's it been, nearly 30-odd years? My dad still tells that story.
Oh, wow, yeah, you're never going to forget that. He's still got the back pain to cover it for.
This is Jason Manford.
This is
Absolute Radio.
Music matters.
Did you get your box of hot cross buns, Steve?
I didn't get mine. I've got a feeling they're going to arrive today. So if you could review them now, I'll know which ones to go for.
Well, at Christmas time, if you listen to our Christmas show, you will know that we review all the Christmassy type foods, right? And I just noticed this year, I don't know why specifically this year, but I just noticed this year the amount of different hot cross buns there are.
There is a lot. I've noticed that as well, yeah.
I don't know if it's just... I think they've been gradually, it's been gradually happening, but I've just noticed it this year. So what I thought I'd do is we'd sort of review some of the best ones.
Good thinking.
And so we've been sent some. I've even got savoury hot cross buns, Steve.
Oh, I haven't seen them. What's in this? Does it say what's in them? Is it like cheese and onion or something weird?
So the one that I have just toasted as well was the M&S Extremely Cheesy.
Oh, okay.
Cheddar and Red Leicester Hot Cross Bun.
That's a good mix.
It's a lovely tasting bun, Steve.
Yeah. Is it what Jesus would have wanted?
I think so. I think so.
I think he'd approve.
Jesus,
yeah.
That's what they should have called him.
They probably couldn't, but yeah, they should have done.
Yeah, he's probably right, actually.
Hot cross buns to die for.
Yeah, but they're not hot cross buns.
No.
Do you know what I mean? Like, they're nice, but in no way it's just a cheesy bun.
Have you got any, I saw on This Morning or something, there was some place that was selling hot cross buns with a tick on them, like, and people were outraged going, it's got to be a cross, not a tick. And they had like a little tick on them. Like,
yeah, I'd be pretty annoyed about that.
Yeah. What? I mean, it's not a cross like a crossed out, is it? Like the opposite of a tick. It's a cross like a holy cross, isn't it?
It's very much like Jesus died on the cross. Pretty famous story.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm not even religious.
He's only dead for 3 days, though, isn't he?
Yeah, but I'm not even religious and I'm outraged.
Yeah, no, same.
Can't mess around with stuff like that.
No. It's so you haven't got any of those with a tick on?
No, not with a tick on, no. I wouldn't even include them in the hot cross bun.
No, well, they're not tick buns, aren't they? That's not
exactly. Morrison's, they've got the best 4 extra mature cheddar and red Leicester hot cross buns.
Oh, they've gone cheese and red. It's gone cheddar and red Leicester again, though, isn't it? That seems to be the combo.
That does seem to be the combo. So they're pretty nice. Any of these strike your fancy, Steve? We've got caramelised biscuit flavour.
I'm very much a savoury guy, and now you've mentioned the savoury ones. I'm not interested, but I'll caramelised biscuits. I bet there's a salted caramel one, isn't there?
That's biscotti,
the Indugia sausage.
Well, that's Aldi. I'd tell you what, the hot cross bun, the cheesy hot cross bun with a sausage and egg would be fit, or a bit of bacon.
A nice mix. Yeah,
that's actually not bad for Easter Sunday. So you can get them at Morrison's. They've sent us those ones. And what did I say? Oh, M&S as well, for the other ones. So, yeah, okay. some crackers there. Jason
Manford.
Absolute Radio.
Where real music matters.
Now, last Sunday, I mentioned that my wife had a new TV show, Passenger, on ITV and ITVX. Went down pretty well, I think.
Yeah.
Some good reviews, yeah. What's funny about Twitter, though, I had to tell her at one point, I was like, just stop looking. Stop looking, because those people cannot be trusted. They're the people who are tweeting about a show 8 minutes into a show.
Mm, it's my opinion. It's really worthwhile, 8 minutes of it.
And, by all accounts, it did very well. But it's a mystery. It's a mystery sort of thriller thing. There's a crime's been committed. Is there something a bit supernatural? It's got a sort of a, like Twin Peaks meets Heartbeat.
Okay. That's good, to be fair.
It's a good mix, isn't it? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Stranger Things in Happy Valley, I think.
Yeah, I've heard that one. I think I prefer Twin Peaks.
Twin Peaks and Heartbeat, yeah.
And what was it?
Heartbeat, yeah. So... anyway, he went out last week, and I was like, again, 10 minutes in, people going, well, I don't even know what's going on. You're like, well,
that's the point of the...
It's a mystery, isn't it?
It's a mystery, isn't it? Yeah, yeah. If they're going to tell you straight away, you'd know, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Anyway, the only thing I'm annoyed about, Steve, and because a few people said to me, how come you're not in this, Jace? I mean, it's a good question, isn't it? Because I do know the producer, and it's set 10 minutes from our house.
Yeah.
I did audition, actually. My wife got me an audition.
At least you got an audition. I didn't get that far.
You didn't even get that. And you're best friends with the producer's husband. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Nothing.
Anyway, I didn't get the part. Obviously.
Who got your part?
Dan Ryan.
Yeah, nice to see Dan and stuff, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, that's that. I'm fine with that. Obviously, I'm not bitter or anything, Steve.
No, you don't sound bitter.
I'm actually genuinely not. The thing I'm annoyed about, Steve, is that I feel like one of our ideas has been lifted.
Oh, what's that? Which one? What?
I think someone might have been listening to our show. Maybe my wife has overheard us recording it.
No, she doesn't listen to the show.
No, she definitely doesn't listen to the show.
We know it's not her. We know it's definitely not her.
We can rule her out.
Yeah, definitely not her.
Well, see if you recognise this topic of conversation.
Okay, I'm listening.
So, what? That's that? That is that, yeah? Any news on the missing bin? Called it yesterday. It were the red, not the black. Right.
Mum, Nick.
Probationary constable. What are you again?
A legend.
You know what? Since you're doing missing bin chat, I think I'll pop out. Yeah.
Missing bin?
Missing?
Even said
they actually
bin
said
chat.
It!
Bin, they even
bin
said
chat! Bin.
You might as well have said hashtag bin chat.
Hashtag, maybe they may have said questions for Steve.
Brazen. I've got some questions for Steve. Questions for Steve. Questions for Steve. They might as well have done that.
Unbelievable. That's outrageous. Like when they get one of the criminals in, right? Okay, come on, hit me with your best facts.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Fuming.
Right, let's get chat. The Detective Inspector Jeremy Vine in.
Ken Bruce is here.
What have you done? Josh Whittaker. DC Whittaker.
They're all coming in. Ken Bruce is chief of police.
There's no mystery there, is there? I mean, you know, you say it was a mystery, but that's plagiarism. I mean, that's straight up plagiarism.
Who'd you write to?
Points of Views. Is that still on?
I don't know.
Ofcom?
I think it might be an Ofcom complaint. Could a fellow broadcasting show like complain about another broadcasting show?
Yeah.
That's been made by the other one's wife.
Yeah, it feels like it's very niche. There's a special department that hasn't been created yet, I think.
Just deals with this. Oh, fuming's not the word, Steve.
I might have to watch it now. If I find the time, I'm going to watch that now because I want to know where this result. Did they put the windows through? Is that what happened?
That's what happens in the end, yeah.
Yeah, good. Just check it.
Jason Manford on Absolute Radio. Matters.
Now, last week, we had our very own mystery, didn't we, Steve?
An egg mystery.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, this is very topical for Easter, isn't it? Really?
It is, actually. Well, it's got worked out really well. It's almost like we planned this show.
But we don't plan anything, so that we
not
haven't.
A thing. Go on, then. Tell us what happened.
Well, basically, I kept finding eggs in my garden that half opened up, half eaten, and I was like, well, that's obviously a fox or something like that. And then, you know, and then I found one buried, and I dug it up, and I pulled this egg out. I had a date stamp on it. It was for 2 weeks from the time that I dug it up. So somebody's burying in-day eggs and then taking them out when they need them, like using my entire garden as like a little fridge for all their stuff. I've got an addition to it, actually. Yesterday, I was just getting out of the car and my neighbour, Moira, was just getting out of her car. And she said, can I ask you a question? I went, yeah. And she went, have you been finding eggs in your garden? I went,
no.
I mentioned this on the radio last week. She went, we found about 20. So it's in their garden as well. So now we're up to about 40, 50 eggs. What is going on?
I mean, what's going on?
I don't see. Is somebody feeding a fox? Is somebody getting a box of eggs from the shop and just leaving them on their doorstep wide open for a fox? And instead of just eating it where he is. Yeah, go on.
Yeah. Well, I'm just thinking, knowing the fox, wily as he is.
He's wily, yeah.
Is he popping into Sainsbury's?
He could himself? Be. What, with a suit on?
Maybe two foxes in a big coat.
Yeah, massive fox.
Yeah.
Two in a coat. The bottom one's pulling out a pocket watch. Oh, is it the time already? Yeah. I would like some of your very large.
Yeah.
That's under the voice under the coat. Very large. What was that? My tummy was rumbling. Very large. Very large organic free-range. Free-range. Free-range organic eggs.
Yeah.
That's what's happening.
That's happening, yeah. I think it is.
What, so you reckon somebody's just leaving like £4 on the side for a fox and he's picking that up?
Oh, you think he's buying them? No, I think he's nicking them, mate. It's a fox.
Oh, I thought he was going in and buying them.
No, I don't think he's going and buying them. I think he's stealing them.
I think it's better if he's buying them. Not all foxes are bad guys. You know, he might be buying them. He might be thinking, look, I won't steal them. I mean, I'll eat half of them and leave them in people's gardens so it's all right mess. But I'm not a thief.
Well, we got a couple of people replied about it.
Any experts, Strachan or anybody would know what's going on here. Packham.
Yeah, maybe we should speak to Packham. He'd be good, wouldn't he?
Yeah, he'd know. He'd be good. Packham would know.
Janet told us, she just says, my husband reckons it's definitely a fox. She just throws that
in. Yeah, but we all think it's a fox.
Yeah, but no, nothing else. Candice says, apparently magpies, rooks and crows are known egg stealers.
Yeah, but not from Sainsbury's, not with a date stamp on. I agree with you. I know they are. They are famously. That's the cuckoo in the nest, isn't it? They, you know, they put their eggs in other people's nests and magpies and stuff, don't they? And all that.
Sue said, this is very strange. She said, I had the same thing, a whole empty egg sitting on the path in my garden with the date stamp on it. Spooky.
That feels like a mafia threat from some sort of like chicken mafia.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Just an unopened egg. Is that the date you're going to die? They've just put that there.
Yeah.
So whatever beef we've got, sort it out, or that is the day I'm going to crack
it. Worrying.
Do you know what? The other thing that's thrown me, obviously this weekend, obviously we're going to do an Easter egg hunt. It's going to be a nightmare in our garden.
Oh, mate. Joke.
Kids are going to be like, found one. Oh, it's got an hole in the top. What's this?
Yvonne has said, here in Ireland, there's an old custom called the pishog. I hope she's just not got me in trouble there.
No, she said something really offensive and Gaelic. Yeah.
She says, which is a form of hex or curse.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I know, Steve. It's not what you want, is it, when everyone's ill?
Come on.
Here follows a description of these customs. Most pishogs involved jealous people wishing ill luck on their neighbours. A common one involved the charm setter burying eggs on the land or hiding them in the straw stores of the neighbour. As the eggs rotted, so too did the neighbours' fortunes. Oh my God. That's all you need.
Right now, that's not what I need.
How's your fortune doing?
Not great, but no. Rotting like an egg in the garden.
Damn it.
Really.
Is there any neighbours that you've... I know what's happened. You put someone's window through, haven't you?
No, but my neighbour this side, Moira, I'm pointing. Moira and Robin this side, they've got eggs as well.
She's having the same problem, yeah.
This side you've got Justine and Ern. They've not got any egg problems, I don't think.
All right, Steve. Yeah. I mean, I'm not a detective, but I would say the one without the egg problems...
I know, but
is the one who's doing it.
His neighbours at the bottom. I don't know. I mean, I'm more likely to go with a fox.
Well, I don't know. I think it might be a curse.
Okay.
Well, Phil's got another theory.
Come on, Phil.
Phil says, I reckon the eggs are being buried in Steve's garden. It's a guerrilla marketing by the British Egg Board.
They knew
you'd mention it on the show because you've nothing else to talk about the pair of you.
Yes.
And would get subliminal free advertising on a national, international radio show and podcast. Next week, I bet you'll find eggs with a QR code stamped on them.
Yeah, or with a press release. Just stuck on it on a post-it note.
Yeah, and these ones are from Morrison's.
We just end up saying stuff like, go to work on an egg. We just end up saying stuff accidentally.
Oh, my goodness. And Claire Webb says, I have a very simple explanation.
Oh, good.
We used to get a box of eggs delivered with our milk, but had to stop the eggs being delivered when the fox was stealing them. We did have quite a few exchanges with the milkman where we accused him of incompetence for delivering empty eggs, egg boxes, until we caught the fox red-handed.
Right. Well, literally, some of them.
Yeah. There you go.
Well, that actually makes perfect sense, doesn't it? Because I forgot about, people do the milk and more and they have stuff delivered. That's what's happened. She solved it. Mystery solved.
I think that might be it must be that or the Irish curse.
Between the two.
It's between the two. Let's see over the next few weeks.
Or the disgruntled neighbour. We'll see how it works.
The disgruntled neighbour. Let's see how much your fortune rots over the next few months.
Okay.
Jason. Absolute Radio. Manford. Where real music matters.
I'm the one with the hot cross buns. Steve's not been delivered any.
I'm enjoying listening to you. I can tell when you really enjoyed it or not enjoyed it.
We've got M&S, we've got Sainsbury's Taste the Difference. I'm trying to go
for
the
special. Can you taste the difference?
I think so.
I think you can as well.
I think you can as well.
I don't know if there's more sugar and more salt in it. I don't think you can taste the healthiness.
No. Tesco Finest, apple and cinnamon. I'm obviously not getting a chance to toast all these, and I know that does change the way it tastes, but...
Some they come out hot, don't they? So the hot cross bun. I know that's it's in the name, but because of the sort of sugar glaze on it, they're sometimes scalding hot.
Scalding. Well, apart from when I was at, I told you when I was at Gales last week in Wimslow.
No.
Big sign up outside, hot cross buns.
Hmm.
Gales, you know Gales Bakery.
I know Gales,
Gales. Well, they've got one up north now.
Oh, have they? Okay.
Oh, absolute treat for us.
I like Gales. Good. I
love a Gales. Hey, mate, this is not. I'm not slagging off Gales, but I am.
Go on.
I love Gales, so I've gone in. I took my daughter in. She wasn't feeling like 100%. And so I thought, this will cheer her up. We'll go to Gales. I went in. Big sign outside. Hot cross buns, it said. Mm-hmm. Thought, great. Went in. All the lovely cakes, all the lovely pastries, all the lovely sandwiches, open sandwiches and that. My daughter gets whatever. I said, I'll have one of your hot cross buns, please. She gives me an hot cross bun on a side plate.
Yeah.
Just as is.
Not hot.
I said, can you cut it and toast it? She says, we've not got the facilities for that.
Oh,
I said, well, it's not, you should put cold cross.
Get Gail out here now. Gail,
I want to speak to Gail.
I want to speak to Gail right now.
But then, Steve, I got to the till and I look up at the menu. They do toast.
Yeah, that's the same machine, isn't it?
That's the same machine,
That's the same machine. That's a toaster.
I do my hot cross buns in the toaster.
Yeah.
Although, I'll tell you what I do, actually, Steve.
Go on.
Little hot cross bun tip for you here. Oh, by the way, these ones I've just eaten were the apple and cinnamon Tesco Finest Fit. Right. They're fit. I like that.
Okay, good.
My little tip is, what you do is, I don't know if your toaster can do this, because I know some don't.
Mm.
I just put my toaster on, put the little lever down.
All right, to warm it up.
And I just put the hot cross buns on the top.
What, so it just sort of, the heat comes up and just sort of...
And it toasts them from... No, it actually does toast them.
Does it?
From underneath, yeah, but just not as brutal as going down into the actual slot.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It can be a little bit brutal, yeah. Especially when there's fruit involved.
Yeah, definitely. So apple and cinnamon from Tesco, absolutely gorgeous. Aldi, I think this is Aldi. This is the caramelised biscuit flavour we were talking about before.
That's the Biscoff type thing, isn't it?
Yes, it does recommend you have it with Biscoff.
Oh, more sugar. Good.
Yeah, yes, exactly. The only disappointing ones, actually, I've had so far were also from Aldi, and they've got, like, well, they've called it Nutoka hot cross buns, chocolatey hot cross buns with a nutty flavour. Basically, their rip-off of Nutella.
Couldn't say Nutella, so they said Nutoka. Not even a word.
Well, neither's Nutella, is it?
No, I know, but, you know.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I think Aldi, so I've, judging from when we
spread themselves a bit thinner.
When we do the Christmas ones, Aldi always do something. They just cover everything in sort of gold shimmer, don't they? They sometimes just literally, you know, the phrase sprinkling glitter on. They sometimes do that a little bit too much, I think.
Oh, I tell you, they're a nice one.
What?
Lemon and white chocolate hot cross bun.
That sounds all right.
That's from Asda.
That's nice. Okay.
Oh, yeah. That's lovely with a brew, that.
Have you had your breakfast, or is this your breakfast?
No, this is me. I don't even know what I'm going to put in my fitness pal.
Just put type 2 diabetes. Just type it straight in.
Questions for Steve. All right.
Okay.
So, this one's from Danielle.
Okay.
Try to say that again. This one's from Daniel. Got that wrong. Sorry, Dan. Could have gone either way.
Yeah.
This is from Daniel, who says, a question to the comedic thespian.
Oh, that
Which
me?
One's that?
I don't know. You're more comedic, I think.
Well, I don't know. You're funnier than me. You're not supposed to say I know.
No, but you do stand-up comedy tours, is what I mean. You're more comedic.
Oh, I see, right.
You know.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to clip that. I'm just going to whip that out there. No, well, I think it's true, but I don't want to hear it.
I'm just saying.
No, I'm allowed to say it, you're not.
I meant you're more comedic. No, I know you mean. Like, you know,
I know what you mean. I'm fine with that. Daniel, whoever this person is, says, I'm currently in rehearsals for a production of The Wizard of Oz in Coventry.
Okay, well, this is more your...
I feel like it probably is aimed at me.
Aimed towards you.
And every time we get to a specific scene, all of us cannot help but burst into laughter and fits of giggles that go on longer than they should. I don't know what scene that was. I don't think we had that in ours.
Did of the house?
So, yeah, maybe this is ours.
Feet poking out.
Weird. I watched the outtakes of Phoenix Nights. Now.
Oh, okay.
And it made me wonder, how do you get past the fits of laughter when working on a scene? Do you just cut the scene or just plough on and hope for the best?
Well,
thanks, Steve.
I think the one she's referring to is the one where Justin Morris can't say the word, like, cheese board and coffee something. It went on for, I'm not even joking, about 3 hours to the point where... God. Like, everyone was tired from laughing. A couple of the cast were, like, really annoyed. Because, like, all right, let's just stop now. All the crew were furious. The director was furious. Everyone was angry. In the end, we just went, forget it. Like, it was like any noise that Justin made us laugh. In the end, forget it. So we forgot it. We stopped the scene, didn't finish it. We all went out that night, went to the press club in Manchester. I don't know if it's still going. It used to be an all-night sort of drinking.
Oh, yeah, I remember it,
Den of misery. And then they rang us at 2 o'clock in the morning saying, we weren't in the next day. They went, you're in first thing, 7 o'clock tomorrow morning. So we all rolled up, slightly hungover.
Yeah.
And just completely got through it because we couldn't breathe or see. So that's the way they got round it. But... I don't know. It's tricky, isn't it?
Because we had a few moments, didn't we, on Scarborough?
Yeah. Once you go, you're aware that it's annoying other people, and it's wasting time, and there's but you can't help it. That only makes all that nervous pressure only makes it worse for you to try and stop. It's impossible. But yeah, there's a couple.
I've got to say, I am on Waterloo Road and it just didn't really happen to me. I mean, I was dealing with a serious storyline, but even so, like, there was definitely times on that where I was easily the most serious person on set and was looking around going, what the hell's going on? Like, I'm the one who people are expecting to mess about here.
Maybe that's why, though, because maybe it's because of that stuff. Yeah, and you were like, this is beneath me. I mean, I'm obviously Madame Blanc. Paul chuckles in Madame Blanc.
Oh, wow.
And when Paul's in for a couple of days, he had a line, I think, in the second series when he had to say, "That's not Jura." That's all he had to say. It was a like rock star called Jura.
Yeah.
And every time he's had a little peer next to me going, "That's not Jura," I couldn't breathe.
Of course.
I couldn't get through it. Could not get through it.
Yeah, there are moments, aren't there, where...
Yeah.
Have you ever done something where you've deliberately said a line in a certain way because you know it'll make people laugh?
Oh, yeah, that's just like what sportsmanship, isn't it? Like, you've done your single, you know you've got a normal version. Now the cameras have turned around onto somebody else. I'll just enjoy myself now. I do, I'm a very giving actor. You'll know this, you've worked with me, but I will sometimes... Sal will vouch for this. If there's a bit where we have to, like, she has to naturally laugh in a scene, when the camera's on her, I will do something completely different just so she naturally laughs.
Oh, that's
good. Because I'm a giving actor.
Well, you're a giver. You're a giver. That's what I've heard about you, yeah?
Yeah, I agree
with that. Well, there you go. Hope that's helped, Daniel. Danielle, whoever you are.
Sunday mornings, 8 till 11. Jason Manford on Absolute Radio.
Where real music matters.
Hey, I went to a party on Monday night, Steve.
Yes.
And I actually got drunk.
You got drunk?
Me?
I've known you like 20 years. I've never known you get drunk.
No.
Never.
I've
been to weddings with you. I've been to, you know, everyone was drunk at your wedding except for you.
I know. I was just looking around, still looking how much it's going to cost me. And, but on Monday, well, what happened was...
Let me explain. What's the party?
Just Jimmy Carr just had a party.
Yeah.
Just a sort of get together.
And was there a cocktail menu or was it just a...
Yeah, it was like a free bar.
Yeah.
And it was very nice and very, just a lovely atmosphere, lots of nice people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd been in the hotel first. I met up with Craig Cash, actually.
Yeah.
I don't mean to be name dropping here, but this is just the world I live in at the moment, Steve.
Yeah,
I can't help it, can I?
No.
So Monday. So I don't know why I did it. I'm just nervous to meet Craig Cash. We're chatting about some work thing, and he's a bit of a comedy legend, isn't he, Craig Cash?
Yeah, yeah.
So I sit down and he goes, "Oh, I've had a hell of a day." He said, "I'm gonna have a glass of wine. Do you want one?" Yeah. And I don't drink wine, Steve. I don't even like it.
No.
But I said, yeah.
Yeah. On Monday, Jason got drunk on wine.
We added this one
London.
To the...
I should have been an impressionist. I mean,
Mate, I'm telling you, you are wasted. You're wasted on this show.
I really didn't know I had this money in me. I really didn't. I'm sorry. So what was it? White wine, red wine?
White wine. Anyway, I had three of them.
Ooh,
just,
well,
I know.
It's like pop, isn't it, sometimes with wine?
Yeah, that's it. It was nice. I'd never really liked it before. And then when I got to the party, it was like a couple of cocktails.
Sweetest cocktail you have.
Yeah. Imagine a child was here and they were allowed
this
to drink.
This one's called Skittles.
Yeah, that's me. Can you give me a cocktail that tastes nothing of alcohol?
Yeah, one that tastes like a bounty bar.
I think it was like a French martini, I think.
Okay, yeah.
It was very fruity. Nice. Very
brandy,
fruity.
Then, I'd imagine, somewhere in there.
I don't know, mate. Someone else. I just drank it. But what's interesting, and I realised something about drink at this moment and drunk people in general. I usually, when I go into parties or places where there's lots of sort of famous people or people of different social standing, you know, rich, like born rich people, you know what I mean? Like wealthy people or like aristocracy or just people with letters after their names or whatever. I get very nervous. Like I'm not my best self.
No.
I just get worried about it. And anyway, after these couple of glasses, I went in with the confidence of a man who belonged.
Well, this is Dutch courage, isn't it? This is what it is, isn't it?
It's the first time I've realised. And do you know what, Steve? I was hilarious.
I bet you were.
Oh, honestly.
And loud.
Loud.
Hilarious.
I was a bit trippy, a bit stumbly. joined in with many conversations, talked with confidence to people who spoke to Catherine Ryan, who I'm always nervous in front of Catherine Ryan. I love talking to her. She's always very lovely, but I always feel like I'm wasting her time.
She's got
that air about her when you're talking to her. You know what I mean? Like, and she's not, her and husband, Bobby, lovely people, but it's just me. It's in me. I just think I'm wasting this. So this woman's got better things to do.
Yeah, you've got French Martini, you've got her and Bobby in a headlock. And you're having a lovely time.
Having a great old time. And I just sort of had this epiphany, I guess, halfway through, where I just thought, oh my God, this is why.
Epiphany, is that vodka? That's the vodka one, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
And I had another epiphany.
I had three of them.
There should be a drink called the Epiphany.
That is a great... Yes, that's good.
And you have it and everything suddenly makes sense.
It did make sense. Because I just thought to myself, this is why people drink. It's to make them funnier. It's to make them the best version of themselves, of course. And that's what I felt like. And then the next morning I woke up, I was like, oh no, it takes your self-awareness away.
Yeah.
That's what's happened.
You woke up on the floor of the garage. Just to know you go, oh, awake are you?
So you know what, as a little one-off on occasion it was all right, but I wouldn't recommend it on a regular basis.
Jason Manford, Absolute Radio, where real music matters.
We got an email here. It says, hey guys, as you would have seen in the news about Greggs this week, they had to close due to technical issues. And it made us think, whatever happened to the Greggulator? Did anything happen with the Greggulator? Yeah. The Greggulator was a little app that we came up with, wasn't it, Steve?
It was a location-based app, and it said you got your nearest Greggs, and it said, you know, the steak bakes have just come out, the sausage rolls have just come out, so you knew what temperature they were.
Yeah,
because you knew. You know, scalding hot or cold, you know, because they're not allowed to keep them warm, are they? Because that's the difference between a cafe and a bakery, isn't it? So
yeah, exactly, that's right.
So the Greggulator just give you a up to the minute, you know, where they were. That's the Greggs.
Yeah, that's the sort of their little VAT sort of slip to the left
to
there.
They're
basically, they don't sell hot food, they sell cooling products.
Yeah, freshly baked, but you know, not kept
warm.
They're
cooling. So, but it's annoying, isn't it, when you go in and your one's cold. So it was just a little app. And a Greggulator, it was just a good name, to be
good
honest.
Good name. They didn't run with it, did they? They didn't.
To be fair, we never did it. We just said it on the radio.
I thought they might have been listed. Somebody from Greggs, you know.
I know.
Might have heard it.
Anyway, this person says we feel like it would have come in very handy for sausage roll lovers trying to locate an open store. And then I sort of thought, what was the news story this week? And I don't know if you saw this.
No.
So bakery chain Greggs says all of its shops are trading as normal again after a payment problem caused some to close. Customers found some branches closed or only able to accept cash on Wednesday morning. Greg said it has resolved the technical issue that affected the tills. Apologise for any inconvenience. But yeah, there was just a sign in the window that said, oh, crumbs, we're having issues with our tills.
So that's a big thing,
they're
isn't
back.
It? When the Greggs,
they're back.
When the Greggs, they're only taking cash. I mean,
that's like when Facebook goes down in the north.
No, but remember when Kentucky Fried Chicken had no chicken?
Oh, yeah. That was stupid, though, wasn't it?
Yeah.
How did that happen?
Yeah, but it's very similar, you know.
If you're only selling one product, you've got to make sure you've got it.
I went in a coffee shop once and I queued up for coffee and then the woman went, oh, sorry, I've been waiting about 20 minutes. She went, sorry, just realised we'd run out of milk and I've never been back since. I was furious. I was like, again, you've only got two things to consider. If you run out of oat milk, I get it. Yeah. You know, it's one in every eight or something, but you run out of milk. You've only need milk and coffee and hot water and steam. I'm furious, still not been back.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense. I think that's fair enough. Stand by your laurels there. Stand by your laurels. That's not the right phrase.
No, it works. It sort of works.
That's not the right phrase, is it?
You're thinking of
rest on your laurels.
You're thinking of Stan Laurel.
Stand by your laurel.
Stand by your laurel. Sell Oliver Hardy.
This is Jason Manford. This is Where real music matters.
We better play Hit Me With Your Best Facts, Steve. We've not actually got round to it.
No.
Let's just crack straight into it. We all know Hit Me With Your Best Facts. You know the jingle. It's fine.
Yeah.
Absolute Radio mug to be won if you can wow us with your amazing facts. And Clive Creepley is his name.
Clive Creepley. Great name.
Great name. Great name.
It feels like a name that appears, you know, in the Simpsons Halloween ones, the Curious to Tell, and they change all their names.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? Well, Clive Creepley says, since the beginning of newscasting, there has only been one day with no news.
Really?
April the 18th, 1930, was such an uneventful day that the BBC's radio announcer said there is no news by 6:30 p.m.
They don't do that anymore, do they? Even if there is no news, they'll make
no. Something. If anything, there's too much news, isn't there?
Yeah, too much news. News fatigue.
Yeah. I tell you what's really weird about that is I recorded QI only like a week ago, and that was one of the questions on there.
Oh, was it?
About the no news day, yeah.
But it's not been on yet, so he hasn't got it from there.
No, we can't have. No, it's not been out there. Yeah.
Yet, so
just totally random. But it was a no news day.
Imagine how smart you would have looked if this was reversed and you were recording that next week. And you'd
have
gone, oh, what?
I know.
1930, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I would have known. Bang on. But what was weird was, we then obviously Sandy said, whilst there was no news, because they just played piano music instead.
That's a nice idea.
Yeah, there was like an uprising in India, I think, and there was also something going on in Turkey. And so what we worked out was there was no white people news.
Yeah.
You know, in 1930s, they were like, there's no white news, is what they were saying. But there was lots of news around the world, but there was none that was going to affect essentially white people.
I wonder when news became more global, though, because there must have been a point where news was just like, here's what's happening in England, or even in your local area, like regional news. They don't touch on the big things, do they? They just talk about
potholes
down there in St Leonard's.
Yeah, no news.
Yeah,
bizarre, but good one, good fact. What about this one from Siobhan? Says skydiving on a Sunday is illegal for single women in Florida.
Okay, it's balderdash again, isn't it? It's that random balderdash about weird laws. So it's illegal for single women
in Florida. On a Sunday to skydive.
Why is it all right the rest of the week?
I don't know. Why are married women allowed to do it?
I don't know. They got an extra kin? I don't know. Everyone's got an extra kin if they're married, haven't they? Sort of.
I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
I can't work that out.
It's a good one, though. I like it. And Lisa Turner says, there are fewer real flamingos than plastic flamingos in the world. Plastic flamingos you see on lawns outnumber their living, breathing counterparts.
That is very good. I like that one.
That is good. That's weird, though, isn't it? Because that's not a British thing, is it? We don't put plastic flamingos out.
No, but,
that must be an American thing.
Yeah.
Shaquille says, on the 1st of April... 1865. Various people had received passes to witness the lions being washed at the historical building, but there was a catch. There were no lions at the tower. This joke had been running since 1698 and originated from a custom of the warders formerly deriving from the liberality of county gold mouses who tip them to see the white bears fed. I don't know what any of those words were.
No, are we saying this is one of the first April Fool jokes?
This is one of the first April Fool's jokes. But
and it's
I'm
been
like,
done every year since.
Yeah, what were all those words? What did
and
all those
Kenton,
words
what,
mean?
The Kenton Gooches, what?
The gap. I want to know, what does that mean? I don't know what that means.
What any of that means.
It's a lot of words.
I wouldn't tell. If somebody said I'm washing some lions, do you want to come? I'd go, no. I don't want to see a lion getting washed.
No. There's some good words there, though. I enjoyed that.
What I mean.
Felt like I was being tweeted by Stephen Fry.
Yeah.
That's a little April Fool's joke. I feel like April Fool's is like, it's a bit boring now, isn't it?
Well, I mean, I feel like it's for you know, my son's really looking for it. I think it's like,
yeah, children.
It's for the kids, isn't it? It's for the kids.
Children, right? And companies, though. That's what it seems to be.
Oh, I hate when companies do it.
Companies do it, don't they? And you go,
I hate when
girl.
Companies are like wacky anyway. You know, like when Innocent Food. 57 bananas and a chicken. Only joking about the chicken. Like, oh, you know what I mean? It winds me up, that.
Is that Innocent? Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, I think it's Innocent.
I know, yeah. Wacky, like quirky.
Don't be quirky.
Just tell us what's in it.
There.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Don't need that. Dan Tudor says the world's biggest Easter egg was taller than a giraffe and heavier than an elephant.
Well, it would be, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Would be both
of
those.
A lot of chocolate, isn't it?
Oh, lovely. I love it. I smashed. Don't know. I smashed through an Easter egg the other day. Whoa, lovely.
What, which one was it? Was it just a
just the Kit
chocolate?
Kat one?
Oh, Kit Kat one.
Yeah, just a plain Kit Kat one. Only a little one. I didn't go mad, but oh, I don't know what it is about hollow chocolate. I just love it.
It's the sound, isn't it? It's just all the little thing, isn't it? Yeah.
Smoothness of it, yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean. Sharon Daly says, before Alexander Fleming named penicillin, he just called it mold juice.
Not feeling well. Is there a bit of the mold? Have you had any of my mold juice? What? I'll tell you what, sort your eyes out. Have a bit of my mold juice. Alex. Yeah?
You're all right, Alex.
What is it? Just stop calling it mold juice. That's what it is, mold juice. Juice out of mold, isn't it? Yeah, we're going to give it like a more scientific name now. Shut up. It's working. All right, well, I've got some mold juice.
Yeah, definitely needed a bit of a PR initiative there, didn't it? A bit of marketing.
Yeah.
And Jessica Thomas says, in 300 BC, Mayans worshipped turkeys as vessels of the gods. They were mad, them Mayans, weren't they? Correct.
Well, I tell you, your uncle Gary, who's used to live with me, remember they had the Mayans had a prophecy, didn't they, that the world was going to end in 2010 or whatever it was. And I said, hey, it was on the news. I said to Gary, I said, have you heard about that? The Mayan family, the tradition of the Mayan thing. And he went, are they an Irish family? That's what he said. The Mayans. Like the Ryans. Are they an Irish family? I was like, no, they're an Irish. Forget it.
There you
forget
go.
This. So that's what that's I think of when I think of the Mayans.
Should we pick a winner, Steve? I've got two more if you want them, or we could just pick a winner. What do you think? Do you want two more?
Yeah, go on.
All right. Steve Chris says, the founder of Match.com lost his girlfriend to a man she met on Match.com.
Match.com, that's good.
That's good, isn't it?
That is good. Oh, I like that.
Yeah. And this one from Jason, he says, if you look strictly at statistics, you're more likely to win an Olympic medal than the lottery. According to stats, your chance of winning an Olympic gold medal is about 1 in 3.5 million. However, the chances of you winning the lottery is 1 in 14 million.
Well, there you go then.
Yeah, I think that might be specific to who. I've definitely got more chance of, because I play the lottery.
Yeah.
I don't play any Olympic sports. So surely, even statistics.
No, I know, but if
say,
you did, just saying, if you, that's because you do play it.
Well, it was like the other, was it a couple of years ago when the guy at the, I thought it was the European Championships or whatever, or the Commonwealth Games, the old fella who won a gold for bowls, and he only started in his 50s.
Yeah. I'm tempted to join a bowls club, actually.
I am. My friend's dad plays it, and I keep thinking I might get into it.
I'm going to find one around here. If anyone knows a St. Leonard's Bowls Club, I'm going to join, I think.
St. Leonard's Bowls Club, that's what we're looking for. That's the next one. Okay, I'm going to quickly wrap through these and we'll pick a winner. So we've got, there was no news on the April 18th, 1930. It's illegal to skydive in Florida on a Sunday if you're a single woman. Real flamingos are outnumbered by their plastic flamingo counterparts. Shaquille told us a bit of a word soup, but told us about the washing of lions being the first April Fools. We also had one from Dan Tudor. The world's biggest Easter egg was taller than a giraffe and heavier than an elephant. Sharon Daly told us that it used to be called mold juice and not penicillin. Mayans worship turkeys as vessels for the gods, according to Jessica. And Match.com guy lost his girlfriend to a man she met on Match.com. And you're more likely to win an Olympic medal than the lottery. What do you say, Steve Edge?
I'm liking the Match.com one, I've got to say.
Out of nowhere that came, didn't it?
I just think it's such a good, like, very succinct. You know exactly what you're saying there.
Yeah, so the Match.com founder lost his girlfriend.
To the app that he created.
That's slightly heartbreaking, isn't it? Yeah, he's called Gary Kremen, he was called.
Yeah. Do you reckon all the time he was creating it, she's going, this is a rubbish idea as well. And then he went, have a look at it. Just have a look at it.
Just set yourself up a profile.
Set up a profile. Right, take a
not pic- that picture.
It's a good picture, actually. Well, right, pretty good. Gone on there and found a new girlfriend.
Let's hope so. Well, look, the winner is you, Steve Crisp, for that brilliant fact there. A Absolute Radio mug is winging its way to you. If you want to join in, you can email us, jason at absoluteradio.co.uk, with your best fact.
Sunday mornings, 8 till 11. Jason Manford on Absolute Radio.
Where real music matters.
Thanks for joining us this morning here on Absolute Radio. What have you got planned the rest of Easter, Steve?
That's just Eastering up now, isn't it? Just burying eggs in the garden, but chocolate ones and stuff. And yeah, having
a good
Easter.
Alongside the fox.
Yeah, I'll be digging it. I'll be digging them and he'll be digging his.
Yeah, that'll be lovely. Well, that'll be nice. I'm not here next week. Well, neither of us are. We're not here next week. It's our own choice, Steve.
Yeah, yes.
Don't want anyone to panic on social media. We will be back the week after, which, madly, will be the 14th of May, Steve.
Wow, is that...
How's that happened? I mean, I know that's... That seems crazy to me. But anyway, we're off next week, back the week after. So have a lovely Easter Sunday, bank holiday. Enjoy the Easter holidays if you're going away or whatever you're doing or you're working. I'm sorry about that. You can catch up on a load of podcasts. Loads of our podcasts are now up in all the places you get podcasts, the Absolute Radio app, of course, and our show, The Best Men, which is on BBC Sounds and all the other places. So have a great week and we will see you in a couple of weeks' time.
Don't you mean the 14th of April?
Oh, yeah, sorry, not May. Wishful thinking.
6 weeks off.
Wishful thinking. Sorry, I meant 14th of April.